Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we make our Oscar picks. We make our Oscar picks, and we make our Oscar picks. Yep, that's the show.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome, one and all, to the podcast we like to call The Scope Show.
I don't think I've ever called it The Show.
I think so.
People like to add the show to it because it's in the URL, and I know Al's a big fan of calling it The Scope Show, but it's not really in the name anymore.
It's like The Girly Show.
I guess. It's a show about scopes, honestly.
It really is. And
microscopes, telescopes, you know, endoscopes.
It only took us 85 episodes to come to that realization, but now that we are here, we can talk about all of those scopes and more.
So I hear the telescopes in Chile are probably safe from any earthquake damage because they're so fundamentally well-built.
Is that how they do it down there?
That's exactly how they do it. Strong foundations. They plan for it because they know they're in a fault zone. There you go. There's your scope news.
Well, I want
for
to,
today.
I want to wish a bit of happiness and positivity to all of our scope listeners in Chile. Hopefully they're doing fine. And if we have listeners there, my guess would probably be not for a number of reasons. Hey, if you're listening carefully, which God knows we're not, but if you are, I just want to let you know that Adam is not in today, and it is one of our biggest shows ever. So we decided since Adam was not going to be here that we're going to completely self-destruct this thing, and we're just going to let it rip. I'm not going to be speaking for the quality of the show, but let's just say we had some technical difficulties before that made me perturbed, and I'm perturbed right now. I don't often do the show perturbed, but I'm perturbed. So,
is that a word even, perturbed?
Perturbed.
I don't think it
I'm
is.
I'm making it a word now.
All right.
Perturbed. So I apologize in advance for the quality of the show. You know, another thing that made me angry today is I worked from home, and I don't know if I've even talked about my giant pussy cat that I have at home. One of two. One is this dainty, small little thing who... just the nicest little cat, never gets into trouble. She just likes to do her own thing. But about a year and a half ago, we got another cat who is a monster. He's about 17, 18 pounds. All he does is attack her. His name is Turk, named after Turk from the television program Scrubs. And he gets into a lot of trouble. And one thing, Jared, I found with Turk... that would be a puppy dog, I believe.
No, it's a cat meow.
It's a kitty. Well, not far off of Turk's manly meow. One thing we found out about Turk, Jared, is that he does not...
he's a big cat.
He does not...
He's a big
gigantic.
Cat. Big cat.
He does not do well with milk. So he likes to eat everything. He's a beggar. We made the mistake one time of giving him milk, and he proceeded to barf all over the house.
Well, that kind of blows apart the stereotype of cats
mm-hmm.
loving milk.
Well, he loves it. He just doesn't know how to deal with it. So
he's lactose intolerant.
So wait for this one. So
okay.
I'm at home today working. I had some business to take care of. It was just easier for me to do that. And throughout the day, I was downstairs in my office, and I would just hear like these ruckuses in the house. I don't know what was it. It sounded like somebody was dropping a bowling ball off our table or something. I don't know what it was, but I thought the cats were fighting, which Turk often does with Sammy, the other cat. But the thing was is that she was in the room with me. So I'm like, what is this cat doing? And I didn't pay that much attention. And I go out of the room and upstairs, and there is cat vomit everywhere.
Oh no.
So the bowling ball falling from the table must have been his riotous and excruciatingly painful vomit reflex. I don't know what was going on, but it was absolutely disgusting.
Enough to knock him off the table, huh?
And I'm telling you, Jared, there are chunks or cat... I mean, just whole pieces of cat food coming out. I mean, it was sort of mixed in with a little bit of white, so I'm thinking, there's milk somewhere. Where is he getting this milk? I couldn't figure it out.
What?
I looked all over the house. You know, he's not, he's a big cat, but he's not big enough to open the refrigerator.
No. They're real, he's lacking thumbs, too.
My my cereal bowl that happened to be sitting in the sink, which, you know, my wife, she'd kill me if she found out that was happening.
Well, good thing she doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, well, I'm going to throw her under the bus in about a second, so you just wait. my cereal bowl had a plate over it, so he couldn't get to the milk that that might have been sitting in the bottom of
the
that.
The remainder milk.
So I'm, at this point, I'm screaming at this cat, you know, throwing the Effenheimer around, and he's sitting there with this big, stupid look on his face, as he always does.
Both? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, what's up with... I don't get it. So, yeah, the first time was a good three-banger. He barfed three times, and he's a big cat, so it's all over the place. And here's the thing about cats, Jared.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they will barf in the worst place. So they won't barf on the linoleum floor or the tile. They will barf on your bedspread, or they will barf on your white carpet, which we happen to have. And this time... 2 out of 3, right on the white carpet.
Ugh.
So I'm like, I got to clean this up later, and I'm just disgusted. So I kind of pick up what I can and then go back to work. And about another 20 minutes later, I hear the same noise again. And I at that time, I didn't connect to him throwing up. I just didn't know what was going on. I go out into the living room, and there it is again. 2 more gigantic barfs.
Where is this all coming from? I mean, he's a big cat, but he's not that big.
Well, the thing is, he's like a dog. You know, if there's food out, he has to go eat it. So he goes... and probably refills his stomach and then vomits it all out again because he's a moron. Doesn't understand what's going on.
He just knows that he gets done vomiting and he's hungry.
Exactly. And so I'm looking around thinking, oh, excuse me, hiccup there. What could be causing this? And I finally found the source of the problem. Last night my wife wasn't feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
And she made herself a glass of warm milk and then proceeded to forget to put it in the sink, the cup, which is okay. If the cup was empty, but the cup was not empty. There was a good chunk, a good bit of milk in there, probably 2/3 full. So I'm assuming what Turk the idiot was doing was going and drinking the sour milk that had been sitting out all night.
Eating. So not only does he not do well with milk, but now this milk is sour.
It's
and...
a sour milk, yeah.
Wow.
So, and then he proceeded to barf up his cat food and milk, sour milk concoction, which I got, then I have to go through with the carpet cleaner and scrub it out, this strangely yellow-brown color that cat food tends to come out of a cat's stomach. I don't know. And
pretty brown going in.
that pretty much set the tone for my day. And then we get here, and my computer crashes on me with all of our news stories and all of our fun Oscar stuff. So,
there was fun Oscar stuff, too?
Like, I had an Oscar trivia all set up.
Holy cow.
I mean, it was
great.
People
are missing out.
It was going to be a great show, Jared. So maybe after this, we'll load up my Hotmail, and then we can look at it. But until then... the Oscar talk's going to have to pretty much stick to the picks themselves. So that's what we got. I got cat barf stories. That's out of the way. I feel better about it. Do you have anything going on, Jared? Special day for you,
is
it not?
Yeah, today marks the beginning of the third year of Angie and me being together.
Well, no better way to celebrate it than to sit in a dark basement.
Yep. Well, she's off at dance rehearsal anyway, so.
Do you have anything planned for this?
I am hoping that she got the 40-pound life-size bust of me carved entirely out of Godiva chocolate. That's what I'm hoping for. It was supposed to be delivered today.
Very nice. That must have cost a pretty penny.
Hey, if Oprah can build a set out of Godiva chocolate, least I can do is a life-size bust of myself.
Did you carve that yourself, or did you hire a...
I was Italian artisans. Only the best for my
lady. I love
the
chocolate artisans working...
Working very to sculpt diligent. It from a solid block of Godiva dark chocolate.
I just picture them like in some sort of freezer or cooler with their little knives shaving it away.
Yes, my eyeballs are truffles, just so you know. Edible.
Is it all dark chocolate? Or?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so it's not like you don't have like white hair or like a, you know, some sort of additional coverage or
something. We didn't go for shading. We went purely just for form.
I'm glad you're not hollow on the inside, you know, like cheap... bunny things that you find at Easter, you know, that you bite in, you think, oh, this is going to be great, and you get it into cheap chocolate.
My chocolate brain is hollow, but other than that, completely anatomically correct inside.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. I suppose you're going to be celebrating this weekend at the big convention.
Yes, the big convention, MarsCon, coming up this weekend, March 5th through 7th.
Oh, you're already
in Bloomington,
plugging.
Minnesota. If you're not already planning to go, then you're probably out of luck.
Can we get just the inside word on what you're... Give me one thing from your show that's going to entice people to go. And see you. I've never seen you before.
Celebrity guest stars?
Celebrity guest stars. William Shatner, perhaps, fresh off of his closing ceremonies speech at the Vancouver Olympics.
I missed that. I guess he is Canadian.
He is. It was very bizarre, by the way.
I was watching other things, and it would occasionally come back to the live coverage of that, and Yeah, I saw Neil Young singing. I'm like, wow, this guy's boring.
I have to, you know, I didn't had no intention of getting into Olympic talk, but I have to bring this up.
And yeah.
I don't know if you read anything about this or noticed this during the show, but, you know, for the last 2 weeks, if you didn't know, NBC was coming out with the new show called The Marriage Ref.
Really?
And if you didn't know that they were coming out with the show called The Marriage Ref, then you certainly didn't watch 1 second of the Olympics because they must have had, I don't kid you not, probably 200 commercial
breaks. Every commercial break.
Yep. That and Parenthood.
Yep.
That, apparently those are the only two shows on NBC.
Well, and Jay's coming back.
And Jay. But you wouldn't have known anything about Chuck or anything, any of these other shows.
I saw
but,
occasional Chuck commercials.
Really? Okay, well, that's good.
But, yeah, it was very, The Marriage Ref and Parenthood. Holy cow.
So, The Marriage Ref, the big thing is they are going to show a special presentation of The Marriage Ref after the Olympics.
Yeah.
So we're watching the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, and it is, I don't know what time it is, but my guess is it might have been 9 o'clock Central Time. And I'm not kidding you, almost mid celebration, the Olympic closing ceremonies is cut off, and then all of a sudden the Marriage Ref is playing. And they play the entire episode of The Marriage Ref. Like,
yep.
You're thinking, okay, all these famous people, you know, all these grand Canadian stars like Avril Lavigne and Nickelback who have not performed yet, because God knows I'm hugest Nickelback fan ever. But I'm just...
Canada's gift to the world.
Yeah,
right there.
I'm wondering what's going on. No, we got Jerry Seinfeld and his crew doing The Marriage Ref, which, by the way, I hear is horrible.
Well, the commercials don't do it any justice, of course.
It's like, what is this show all about? But Bob Costas is talking, Al Michaels is talking, then all of a sudden they're not talking. So you get a half hour of The Marriage Ref, and then after that you get a half hour of local news, and then they go back to the Olympic
and
closing ceremony.
The party continues into the night, Shane.
Yes.
They can't cover every second of it.
But do you think that's a little disingenuous, Jerry?
I don't know. I think at that point it's just an orgy of Canadianism anyway. So
you don't think that's like... If the Minnesota Vikings win the Super Bowl, which would never happen, right as they're about to do the speeches for the trophy ceremony, they say, "Oh, but first we want to watch a special edition of Family Matters." You know, Urkel's back. You know,
it's one thing if they just decide that they're going to end their Olympics coverage here and then just kick it over to local news, but yeah, they deliberately sandwiched their new program in there.
Did you read anything about that, or is that just
no.
me? Okay. I figured there was going to be a huge uproar on the internet. I didn't see one damn thing about it.
I don't know. At that point, the closing ceremonies had gone on for like 3 hours anyway, so
they were fairly long. Okay, yeah. I guess I'm the only person that's insulted.
But it still seems weird. I will grant you that. It seems weird.
Scope listeners, if you have a problem with it, please let us know.
Especially those Canadian listeners. I know we have some.
They do.
What do they think about NBC, an American company, cutting away from your Canadian show? I don't know.
I wonder if it was like CBN that was covering it up there. You know, do you think they went to a infomercial for Labatt's Blue or something?
I would bet that the Canadian broadcasting company probably had the closing ceremonies running, and then in a little window in the bottom, on endless looping replay, that final goal in the men's gold medal hockey game.
Mm-hmm. Let's not get
endless
into that.
Looping, slow motion. The glory to be shared with all Canadians for 24 hours straight. I bet that's what happened.
Well, as I said on my Facebook page today, Jared, go North America.
Yeah.
China, Russia, suck it.
Yeah, I will concede that, if the U.S. had to lose to anyone, I'm glad they lost.
Exactly.
To
our friends to the north. Between the two countries, we completely dominated. So, bite it, world. That's all I have to say about that.
And the Russian Federation, where apparently they're giving out platinum medals now instead of silver. Didn't even medal, so that's good. Have you seen that controversy?
Yes.
With Yevgeny Plushenko, whatever, where he won the platinum of Vancouver medal?
I call him the ugly half-brother of the lead singer of Def Leppard. That's what he looks like to me. The worst hair.
He's not a pretty man, and he's a little crybaby.
He's a crybaby, and clearly not as artistic as our American superstar,
whatever
his name is. I've already forgotten. I was an expert in all those sports, Jared, and now I'm not anymore.
I know.
It's gone.
It's just like his complaints about the scoring system are ridiculous.
Well, then do better.
Well, yeah, see, he complains about them. I'm going to go back to Salt Lake City real briefly. The old scoring system, he got a silver. New scoring system comes to place into Torino, he gets a gold. New scoring system still in place for
Vancouver.
It was in Vancouver, right?
Yeah. It was in Vancouver.
And he gets the platinum, I mean silver medal. And
he got
then
both.
He complains about how under the old scoring system, he would have got gold.
Oh, what a douchebag.
Yeah. So he benefits from the new system, but then when it doesn't work in his favor, he cries.
He wah-wah-wahs it right up, like Adam often does.
And shirtless Putin says it's okay.
Putin can go F himself. Thank you.
Anyway.
He's a menace.
Yeah.
He's a menace.
I think he is. You're right.
All right, Jared. Well, let's get into our Oscar coverage here. We've got to take a break.
Such as it is.
Such as it is. But hopefully we'll do it justice. You know, normally even we have Molly here as well, but life just did not work out. Maybe we can get her to write in with some of her picks or something. I don't know. Mm. We'll figure it out. But anyway, we got a little bit of an Oscar show coming up at you. Jared and myself are doing it in a duo situation.
Wow.
We're doing it duo.
You take those lines out of context, and this podcast changes its perspective.
That's
entirely
why I said them. That's right. Why I said them. And we'll be back with more duo action right after this.
They came from different backgrounds. They came from different parts of the country. But they shared one common dream: to become the number one year-end artist on the nationally syndicated Dr. Demento show. And they did. Shoebox of Worm Quartet, nerdcore rapper Devo Spice, the great Luke Ski, Chris Mezzalesta of Power Salad. All of them have had the number one most requested comedy song of the year on the legendary radio program, The Dr. Demento Show. For the past 5 years, these four artists secretly wrote material, which over a span of 3 days was recorded, to bring you one of the greatest sketch comedy albums ever recorded.
Everybody!
Shoebox, Devo Spice, Luke Ski, and Power Salad are Cirque du So What. Their debut sketch comedy album, Procrastinators of the Apocalypse, world premieres at MarsCon, March 5th, 2010. Order the CD now at CirqueDuSoWhat.net.
Or, if you don't know how to spell that, you can go to BaconNipples.com.
Cirque du So What, because we couldn't think of anything better for our group's name.
And here we are. It's the Scopes. Total Oscar coverage. We've blanketed the entire world with all our Scope reporters.
Non-stop coverage of Oscars from the red carpet to the final awards on the after parties right here on the Scope Network.
Have we ever called it the Scope Cast?
No.
I want to coin that for 2010. It's a Scope Cast.
Okay.
You're not impressed by the Scope Cast.
No. I'm aware of anything that says cast in its title.
I just
it's weird.
I feel like I need to be about 2002 on that.
Okay.
And Jared, you know what? We're going to try damn hard during the break to pull up our news stories. We're going to try that one more time. You're going to read the number slightly slower, and I'm going to try to type in that number.
During what?
During our musical break.
Oh, the music break's about a minute and 45 seconds
so
long.
We got a lot of work to do.
Let me, okay, well, you talk. I'm going to make sure I get my...
Okay, Jared's going to pull this up. So let's break it down. I'm going to give people a history lesson for our Oscar talk. Usually we do some sort of crazy quiz, or we'll talk major issues of Oscar. We'll have a round table, and then at the end we will make our picks. This year we will do no such thing. I will ask Jared one question about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll ask two questions. Okay, two questions is good. Number one.
Yeah.
10 best picture nominees. By the way, this question's never been asked in any sort of Oscar roundtable.
Okay.
I'm the one that thought of this. Is that diluting the pool?
Is it too much? I think it's too much, but what do you do? 6, 7, 8? I don't know. The goal is to get more of the popular films listed in there, and I can appreciate that. I think the Oscar best picture competition always tends to boil down to, you know, one or two pictures, maybe three.
Of course.
So I don't know that adding five more films really changes that. Because, I mean, there's five films at least in this group where you could go, they're not even a contender.
No.
So if it seems like purely a marketing thing and a way to appease people who complain that the more popular films don't get recognized.
So why are there no comedies? The comedy bias still exists, Jared.
I would agree with you. I mean, there's probably people out there who thought The Hangover should be in this list.
I didn't, but...
Were there any other comedies this year, in 2009, I should say, that would be worthy of even consideration? I don't think there were.
Couples Retreat, of course, number one.
Well, there is that. It's too bad Cop Out didn't come out last year, otherwise I'm pretty sure that's going to be considered.
Yes, it will be.
2010, look for Cop Out to make a run.
From what I understand, 2010 will be the battle of Cop Out versus... Hot Tub Time Machine.
Well, Hot Tub Time Machine's got my vote. Just the name alone.
It's like Snakes on the Plane, the comedy version. With a name like that, it has to be great, right?
It's a hot tub that's a time machine, really. How can you fail?
I love it. Well, Jared, I'm kind of with you on this dilution of the Oscar pool. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. The only thing that worries me is it might make the Oscar telecast 2 or 3 hours longer because I got to cover every one of these damn movies.
There is that. Well, they aren't showing the best song nominees this year. They're not
really
performing that. So your luck out there. Save a couple minutes.
So we're not going to get like, let's think of somebody like
I just think it's
Chris
poor...
Brown singing the theme to Schindler's List.
I think
or something
it's
like
a poor year for song nominations. So they're just electing not to show it.
Just too many stuff for Princess and the Frog.
There is that.
Well, speaking of best pictures, I wanted to just get into a little bit about Avatar, and this may taint your selection or might give a little bit away.
I'm worried about the editorial possibilities that people could do with this show. I mean, you've got us working in a duo doing it, and now you've just mentioned taint. So really, there's going to be some strange things going around on the message boards.
If our listeners won't chop this up, you will chop it up and use it against me, won't you?
Maybe.
Is Jim Cameron, is he deserving of a Best Picture and a Best Director for Avatar?
For Avatar?
Yeah. Don't tell me if you're picking it.
Deserving?
But is he deserving for this with this film?
I don't think so.
So you don't think it even should be nominated for Best Picture?
No, I think it's in the running. I mean, if you're doing 10, I think Avatar is one of the 10 best films of the year. Might even be top 5. Yeah, I think so.
So the question is, should directors get nominations purely for technical achievement? I mean, Avatar pushing the boundaries of computer animation, or is that just a special effects nomination?
Because
the story isn't anything special, right?
No, the story isn't anything special, and you could chalk that up on the writing part too. But I mean, the director has to be able to have the vision to combine all of these different resources into a finished product, be that acting, special effects, lighting, everything has to go in there, and hey, he pulled it off. He was able to shoot in 3D with a technology that he was instrumental in helping create. I mean, he obviously didn't invent the camera, but he knew what he wanted.
He might admit that he did, though.
And he shot most of it because he was the only one who knew how to operate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, he had the vision to know what he had to get to pull it off. And I think he deserves credit for that.
I agree. He does deserve.
Wow,
he does
so much for
deserve credit. If Adam were here, there would be a lot of controversy, but he's not here.
He would probably somehow relate it to Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Of course, I mean it always comes back to that show, or maybe like Neutral Milk Hotel or something.
Is that
like
still
that.
A thing?
I don't know. Just pick some okay. Random weird band from the past. Well, we've talked a lot about Oscar topics, Jared, but let's actually look into some of these nominees. And like I said earlier, our friend Adam was nice enough to send his picks, and I don't know if we have any sound bits of Adam in there somewhere, but maybe he might voice it at some point with being worst you ever.
Oh, yeah, well, there's that.
That's about it. I'm not looking for anything too fancy. But let's just go through the actors and actresses first, Jared.
Okay.
I'm going to go with supporting actress. Now, we've got five people up for that award this year, Jared.
We do.
I don't know if it's unusual. Do they always do five? I have no idea.
I believe since in the modern awards, Shane, they've done five.
All right. So let's look at the list. We've got Penelope Cruz in the movie 9. We've got Vera Farmiga. Is that how it's pronounced? I don't know.
I don't even know.
In Up in the Air, George Clooney's movie. Maggie Gyllenhaal in Crazy Heart. Anna Kendrick in Up in the Air. And Monique in Precious, based on the novel pushed by Sapphire. Way too long. I would never give it Best Picture just for that.
I hate that the fact that they called that title is that entire thing.
It's ridiculous.
And by the way, I want to know what the apostrophe in Monique is. What letter is being omitted?
What's being omitted?
I mean, that's usually when you have a when you have an apostrophe in the middle of a word. Typically, it signals some sort of omission of letters. I want to know what they
are. Like Monique, monster
where are your Neek. Letters? Why are you hiding out signs? Yeah.
Where are your letters?
Monster Neek. That's her name.
Monster Neek.
Just decided to abbreviate it to Monique. It's a little bit more marketable.
Mom, why did you name me Monster Neek? That's terrible. Well, speaking of Monster Neek.
Monster Neek.
I...
That's a winner right there. See, that was shows worth doing.
When I thought of it, I didn't even think it was that funny, but for some reason it's working. I am picking the monster to take leading supporting actress, that statue home. I think it's a lock. I think you go with it. Monster Neek taking it, and she's going to give a sickening speech, by the way.
I you know what, Shane? Is it my pick now?
It is
yours. You know, I'm going to agree with you. Monster Neek is going to take it home. And I think nine... had a lot of buzz and everyone, I don't know, it really fell flat apparently.
And what's the sequel to 9?
It would be 13, I think. I mean, that's illogical, right?
Well.
So Penelope Cruz is out. I think Up in the Air was in the running, but you got two, so they're going to split the vote, so they're out.
You're always splitting votes. You have two people in the stake. You're going to split it.
It's trouble. Trouble. Honestly, Up in the Air had a lot of buzz early, and then I don't know where it went, but it's gone.
Did you ever see that movie?
Never did. I still want to.
I want to see it too, Jared.
And I don't know, Maggie Gyllenhaal, I guess, is always a fan favorite there, I guess. I don't see it. I'm not a huge fan of hers. I don't dislike her, but I don't particularly like her either. So Monique it is.
Monique.
I haven't seen the film, but the buzz points to Monique.
Yeah, okay, so let's see what Adam's pointing towards. I don't know if I give any of his saucy commentary.
No.
I just don't know if I can do it.
No.
But Adam agrees with us.
Does he?
He feels that Monique, he did not put an apostrophe in there, so it's just...
Well, he's unaware of what her birth name is.
He
doesn't know that
he wasn't here.
Monster Neek is her name.
He'd probably be rolling his eyes right now if he heard that talk.
Yeah.
So we've got, so far, no one's going to win this competition, Jared, or everyone's going to win, because everyone picks Monique for Best Supporting Actress.
Yep.
Well, let's go on to Best Supporting Actor.
We might as well just all say what the pick on this one is, because this one's a lock, too.
Yeah, this is a lock. We've got Matt Damon, Woody Harrelson, Christopher Plummer, Stanley Tucci, and Christoph Waltz. From Inglourious Basterds.
Christoph Waltz, come on.
I know. I got to tell you, Jared.
Yeah.
You and I both said it.
Yeah.
We walked out of Inglourious Basterds like we were cock of the walks.
Yes.
And we
said. We had a little stray cat strut going.
We fought over who was going to be Brian Setzer.
It was tough, but won.
Your pompadour is quite a spectacle. There's no doubt about it. Jared's always been known as the rockabilly man.
I was pomping my door that day.
With his taint.
Oh, boy.
Jared and I said, we looked at each other lovingly, and we said, that man...
You just grist for the mill, right? Is that what that is?
I don't even know what that means. We said, this guy is winning Best Supporting Actor.
Pretty much.
We said it, we stand by it, and I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now.
I agree.
I'm calling Florida for Al Gore as well.
Wow. Christoph Waltz, get your statue polish ready.
Christoph Waltz, let's look at what our good friend Adam has.
He probably picked Danny DeVito from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He actually picked Danny DeVito for his role as the Penguin.
Wow.
He's going way back.
And his eating of raw fish, that's what put him over the top.
For the category of what Adam calls sup actor...
That's super actor, Shane. Super actor.
He picks Christopher Waltz.
What?
That's what he has spelled out. Christopher Waltz. I don't know if it's the same category.
Worst Jew ever.
Well, Christopher Waltz. I think Christoph Waltz probably would, his character would say they're all bad. That's what he would say.
Oh, good for
there
you.
There we go.
I forgot I had that one on tap.
Yeah. Any buttons you can push to spice up the show, you go right ahead. By the way, Jared, I just as an Olympic tangent, I'm just throwing this out there. I watched the Colbert Report recently. I haven't, you know, we're so busy that we don't have time to watch it.
Yeah.
But I laughed my ass off in the introduction when the eagle goes flying by and the eagle is clad in red, white, and blue and stars.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's hilarious.
That's his new intro.
I know. I love it.
Dipping that in HD. he's very patriotic.
I mean, what else could he do? Could he have like flags sticking out of the eagle's eyes? I don't know.
Maybe in the next iteration. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe as the eagle's flapping, red, white, and blue bombs are falling from its wings on the Taliban down below or something
that
like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think I can help him with that.
Make it happen.
Best actress, Jared.
Yes.
This is a hotly contested category, believe it or not.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one to call, I think.
People are talking about it, and we're going to do the same right now. Let me go down the list here.
Yeah.
Leading actress, we've got Sandra Bullock in Speed 2, Helen Mirren in The Last Station, Carey Mulligan in An Education. Oh, boy, this is a tough one. Gabourey Sidibe in Precious, blah, 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 blah. And the always nominated Meryl Streep in Julia and Julia.
You're saying she doesn't deserve it?
I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I will say, in my opinion, Meryl Streep's the best actor we've ever seen. I think she's that good.
I've seen surprisingly few of her films, but she always seems to be up there with a great performance.
Every time I see her, she is terrific.
She was good in that film with Alec Baldwin, too.
She does not disappoint.
Okay.
We're going to start with Adam's pick first.
Good.
Adam says, I'm not going with the traditional pick.
Yeah.
I'm not going with a Sandra Bullock or Meryl Streep battle.
Yep.
I am going with Carey Mulligan.
That's an
interesting. And Education, which I hear is a great movie, by the way. Thank you.
Okay.
Shane's next.
Yeah.
I am dipping into the Meryl Streep Sandra Bullock battle.
Yep.
And I am saying that Sandy pulls it out. She's married to a superstar. What's his name? The guy that builds bikes and crap or races around, whatever he does. He's great.
He's great. That's a tough name to fit on a driver's license.
What's his name?
Jesse James? Jesse James or something like that. Famous bank
she's
robber,
married,
right?
She dug up his bones and said, Jesse James, you are hot. It doesn't matter. I like your rebellious attitude.
She's somehow got a pre-Haitian earthquake witch doctor to animate his corpse. And I don't know.
Why do you always have to throw Haiti under the bus?
I'm just like, post-earthquake, they're not doing a lot of witchcraft now. I don't know.
Maybe they should do a little bit more.
I apologize to our Haitian listeners. Sorry.
On Pat Robertson. Get him. Jared, you like actresses. I mean, you've told me many times that actresses are high on your list of girls you'd like to do, but it's never happened.
Yes, that's exactly.
Have you ever hit an actress, by the
way? Not a professional one. I don't know.
So an amateur. You've hit an amateur.
You know, community theater. You know,
you see Jared's
Dudley
like,
Riggs improv. You know,
Jared's just like hanging out by the off Broadway production of Annie.
Hey, baby, let's play the alphabet game. And that gets them every time.
I don't care if they call you Daddy Warbucks. Jared, tell me what actress you're picking to win the little gold statue we like to call Oscar.
You know, it's so easy to go with Sandra Bullock just because she's like the popular pick right now. But I'm not going to go with her. Helen Mirren and Meryl Streep both have an award already. I don't think they're going to get one. Carey Mulligan, I don't really know who she is. So I'm going to go with someone who had some early buzz, but hasn't been talked about too much lately, but I think she's going to ride the stallion all the way to Oscar gold.
Well, thank you, Billy Bush.
It's Gabourey Sidibe for Push. That's all. The title is Push, okay? The movie is Push. I don't care if it's... There's a lot of things based on novels. They don't get the fucking title in the title of the film. It's Push.
So you're
end of story, period. Stop it.
You're saying, take it to the bank, the monster and the push...
I'm saying
come together.
Monster Neek and Gabourey Sidibe taking home Oscars.
So I guess when we get to Best Picture, I know what you're picking. But before we get there, before we get to that, we've got a leading actor.
Yeah.
And you know what, Jared, since you are so smart on your picks, I mean, you've clearly thought about this for 2 or 3 seconds. I'm going to let you go first.
Go. We need to run down who the people are, Shane.
Oh,
I don't know who I'm picking from.
Our listeners at home don't have their score sheets?
I guess not.
Okay, so let's start at the top. We've got Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart, George Clooney in Up in the Air, Colin Firth in A Single Man, Morgan Freeman in Invictus, and Jeremy Renner, or Renar, in The Hurt Locker. Can you do an imitation of Morgan Freeman?
I don't think I can.
I remember Andy sitting out there by the station.
Yes.
I don't know if that's any good or not. I can maybe get the inflection, but I don't really have the soul of an old black man.
All right. And this is an interesting category because some people say it's wide open. And there's a, you know, it could be anyone's race. And some people say it's locked down.
Lock it down.
There's one key candidate, and he is going to take home the statue. But I'm going to go with those people because I think Jeff Bridges is going to win. I think this is his chance. I feel like maybe he should have been nominated in the past for roles that he didn't get nominated. And I think this is a situation where Oscar says, now's the time, Jeff. Here's your award.
I'm going to tell you something, Jared.
Yes.
Jeff Bridges' year is next year with Tron 2.
What?
I'm just saying it right now.
Okay.
But Oscar doesn't agree with me, Jared.
Oh.
They say his year is this year for Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
And he's going to win. He is going to win. He's going to walk away with that statue. So you and I know what we're talking about.
We do.
Jeff Bridges, great actor. You know, I just watched this movie called Surf's Up.
Yeah.
It's an animated film about a penguin from the Arctic who goes to Hawaii and learns how to surf.
Right.
He bumps into kind of a spiritual surf guy that teaches him, like an Obi-Wan Kenobi type.
Okay.
Voiced by Jeff Bridges.
Wow. Stunning,
and,
I bet.
And
stunning,
you know what? Role. It was great. I highly recommend it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Breaking news, Shane.
Breaking
on
news.
On Netflix instant streaming, you can now watch 21 Jump Street Season 1.
Bigger breaking news.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp says
yeah.
he wants a cameo in the 21 Jump Street remake movie.
Are they actually making a movie?
Yes, they are, sir.
Wow.
So can you outbreak that breaking news?
No, apparently I can't because it's not on Twitter.
I think we've got a new bit, Jared.
What?
Outbreaking each other with breaking news. If I only could get internet access, that would be great. Let's go on here to Best Actor from Adam.
Yeah.
What do you think, Adam? Adam is, you know...
I think he's going to go...
Let's guess. I'll let you guess. What do you think? Look at your list.
He's not going to go Morgan Freeman. I don't think he's not a Colin Firth guy.
He's a racist and he hates...
I think he's picking the guy from Hurt Locker. What's his name? Jeremy Renner?
His name is Jeremy Renner. Yeah. And you know what? You're right, sir. You are right.
Right. I didn't even look at his list.
You didn't have to.
I know Adam's heart.
He did send the list to you, so you could have been cheating.
I could have, but I was not.
Okay.
I was looking at Twitter, not Gmail. Come on.
Okay, Jared.
Yeah.
We've got directing.
Directing.
Directing deserves a drum roll, or whatever, a tippany.
We'll save that for the last one.
I think that I'm going to go first on this one. Directing, we've got Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Push, and Up in the Air. This is a tough one, Jared, but it's not tough for me. I say a woman wins it. The Hurt Locker. Never seen it. Want to see it. It's about a dude in a bomb suit, baby. That's what it's about.
About a dude in a bomb suit.
Adam is picking that category as well. He's doing them all, Jared. And
yeah.
Adam says the Hurt Locker will take it. What do you say?
Shane, I'm not going to differ from my scope peers because I also believe that Catherine Bigelow, director of The Hurt Locker, is going to take home
co-writer of
Oscar Gold.
Ace Ventura. I'm surprised that with your heart on for Precious, based on the novel by Push by Sapphire, that you didn't pick that one.
I think Lee Daniels needs to prove something a little more.
I love how Jared just looks at the list of directors. I don't even know the names of these directors, and he's got them all memorized. You're something special, sir.
I just had the list in front of me, Shane. It's not that hard.
Okay. So we've got two topics, Jared. We've got our oddball topic, or our oddball pick, and our best picture pick. I don't understand formats of podcasts.
Yeah.
Which one should we do first?
Well, I'm going to say oddball pick because we want to save best picture for last, even though I think it's pretty clear what we're picking.
Okay, well, let's go to that oddball category.
Yes.
We're picking costume design because Jared and I, known for our sewing skills, and we really feel like we have insight into this one. We've got a bunch of movies that most people have never heard of. But let's try anyway. Bright Star is nominated. Coco Before Chanel. The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Mm-hmm.
Parnassus.
Yes.
Nine. And The Young Victoria. Jared, tell us who's going
to
win.
Trendy pick is often to go for the European historical pick. That would put your money right there on The Young Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You've got Coco Before Chanel. You're talking fashion. That could be pretty cool.
Right here on the Oscar picks.
I'm going to go for the fantastic end of costume design chain. I'm going for the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Wow, that is a bold statement, Jared. Guess what? Adam's got his own bold statement. And his bold statement says Monsternique and Coco Before Chanel.
Monsternique. No, she's actually a Monique. She said her parents had some class. Come on.
And I am picking The Young Victoria just because it said Victoria in it, and it sounded like one of those period pieces. I had no idea what that movie was about.
was about the Queen Victoria Chain.
Oh, well, there we go. She was young, apparently, in it.
Yes. So she was, you know, wearing miniskirts.
There we go. Poodle skirt, perhaps, there.
Know. Sure.
Bobby socks?
Yes.
A hope chest?
Yes. And best... a pointy bra like McDonough.
Like McDonough. McDonough and Monsternique star in...
the Young Victoria.
Finally.
Yeah.
Not soon enough, my friend. This is way too much talking for two people. One of them kind of sick. We've got Best Picture. I'm going to take 15 minutes to announce every single nominee. We'll start in alphabetical order.
Yep.
Avatar.
Avatar.
Avatar. The Blind Side.
The Blind Side.
District 9.
District 9.
An Education.
An Education, Ada.
The Hurt Locker.
The Hurt Locker.
Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds.
Precious, based on the novel by Push by Sapphire.
Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
A Serious Man.
A Serious Man.
Up.
Oop.
And not a typo, Up in the Air.
Oop in the Air.
Jared, we're going to you because, you know, you speak millions. You speak millions. I don't even know. You speak millions of words.
I speak millions.
And, you know, you are going to be famous again. Your old band is back on target for Triumphant Return this weekend. MarsCon, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Friday through Sunday.
Friday. Well, the MarsCon is Friday through Sunday. I'm just performing.
And anybody who is a guest of honor of anything knows what he's talking about, and you are a guest of honor.
Yes.
So, guest of honor, tell us, what is your pick for Best Picture 2010?
This was an interesting one, because over the months, as we've been hearing about these films and their potential for Oscar victory, I think one of the first ones that really came up as a prominent contender was Up in the Air.
It was.
A lot of people were talking about Up in the Air.
They said this is the Jason
one.
Reitman.
This is such a tight, just like, this is a great movie in the classic Hollywood mode with George Clooney just turning in one of the best performances of his life. Then suddenly, this film about blue aliens captured America's heart.
Cat-like aliens. They're barfing up spoiled milk and cat food.
It's really amazing in 3D when you see that.
One of them name was Turk. One of them names was Turk.
Yes.
And Monsternique, the blue alien.
Exactly.
A lot of blue screen there.
This little film called Avatar started making lots and lots and lots of money.
The little film that could. Yes. That's what I...
It's a little independent feature named Avatar. Go figure.
Nobody heard it. Nobody gave it a chance.
You know, years in the making. And a lot of people started talking about how this could be the best film of the year, even though a lot of people were saying, you know, this is... You know, a great visual feast, but certainly no great film.
And please give me that list of all these people that are saying that.
That would be your Hollywood hipsters, your elite people. I don't know. But then there's the breadbasket of America that just ate it up.
And the heartland.
They saw it in 2D, Shane. They saw it in real 3D, and then they saw it in IMAX.
Flyover country, right here.
Exactly.
The hillbillies,
the purple states,
the sod rollers,
the purple states with the red and blue mixed together. Shane,
perfect.
But now I think the buzz is all on what is going to be your Best Picture winner for 2009, awarded in 2010. The Hurt Locker.
That's how it works, Jared.
It's the Hurt Locker, Shane. Lock it in.
So what is the Hurt Locker about again?
It's an Iraq war movie about a team of like a bomb disposal unit in Iraq.
Buzz yourself. It's about a guy in a bomb suit.
That's right. About a guy in a bomb suit. You're right. Who runs away in slow motion.
Maybe the Hurt Locker could be about, you know, like some nerd getting punished in high school, and that's where he gets sent to after the football player beats him up every single time.
I'm assuming the name is explained in the film, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's something you got to research.
We have to assume, because we are not those gentlemen even 5 years ago that would go see every movie anymore. We don't need to do that, Jared. No, we have opinions on stuff we've never seen.
Well, we just watch the trends, Shane.
We're trend watchers is what we are.
Trend spotters.
Well, speaking of trends, let's go with Adam and his pick for Best Picture of the Year.
It is?
The Hurt Locker.
Of course.
And we'll go with Shane's pick, The Hurt Locker. So, I mean, you know, we can be funny, we can be different, but the reality is that I think we all agree that The Hurt Locker will probably win. Avatar could win.
Even a couple weeks ago, I would have said Avatar. But right now, I feel like Hurt Locker has the momentum. I think if you awarded the Oscars in February, didn't it used to get awarded in February?
No, it was awarded in March.
Always?
Late March, actually. They bumped it up earlier. A few weeks.
I think Avatar. Well, I mean, it was when the actual votes are cast. I mean, that was weeks ago, months ago, whatever.
The announcements oftentimes were done right around Valentine's Day, like the second week in February.
Wow.
I remember that.
Anyway, I think you had three films that were in contention, and I think that as time passed, each one faded, and the next one took its place. That's my opinion.
I love your opinion, Jared.
Okay, good.
So that, my friends, is what we call our Oscar coverage. Short, sweet, to the point, 60 minutes into the scope, we're kicking ass. So we're going to take a little bit of break. Maybe got a song coming up a little bit, who knows, and then we'll come back with a little more scope. Jared, thank you.
Yeah.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, fade camera.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
This week I'm playing a song from my old band that's now my new band that will soon be my old band. Playing at MarsCon, this is Kathy by the Nick Adams. TheNickAdams.org. Check them out.
Kathy, why don't you eat breakfast? Kathy, why don't you eat breakfast? Every time it's the same old crime, I'll make you anything you want, from pancakes to eight croissants. Now you give me that mystery. Kathy, why don't you eat breakfast? Kathy, why don't you eat breakfast? The brother then took that RV later. Surely, I don't know why you're walking away. Who you waving to or what you're gonna do? Kathy! Why don't we eat Kathy?
We can do news, Jared.
Woo!
You're listening to The Scope. Under the Scope.
And we are back with the duo, the Scope duo of Jared and myself. Shane, Adam is not in the house.
Nope.
Adam will not be reading news, but guess what? Technical problems averted. We will be doing news. We've got three great stories, timely stories, Jared, human interest stories, if you will.
Wow. I'm not sure if I'm interested in humans. I'm not about the future. I'm about human robots, you know, cyborgs.
Well, this is pretty close, actually. I'm glad to say that. This is Dateline Chicago.
Oh.
Film critic Roger Ebert, who lost his ability to speak after surgery for cancer, says a Scottish company has helped him regain a voice his grandchildren can recognize.
Hmm.
Computer programmers at a company called Seraproc captured the sound of Ebert's voice from DVD movie commentary tracks, Ebert wrote in Sunday's Chicago Sun-Times. He can now type what he wants to say, and listeners hear a voice that sound just like him.
How do you like my new voice?
And I'm pretty upset about this, Jared, because we don't get the credit we so richly deserve.
Right.
We have been doing this for years with the Adamatic 2000. Adam's not here. We've got a voice that sounds exactly like him.
Oh, yeah.
I sound just like my old self.
That's amazing.
Wow, Jared. I almost feel like this bit's from about 1992.
Well, what do you do?
So, Adamatic, if you could say something to the voice that Roger Ebert calls Roger Jr., that's what he calls his new voice.
Yeah.
What would you say to him, Adamatic?
No hint of computer Zane.
What
did he say? I don't know. That's so weird.
Oh, my goodness. The new voice, which I said Ebert calls Roger Jr., will be heard predicting Oscar winners on a segment of the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Roger Jr.
airing this Tuesday, so that will be the day the show is posted. One day, Ebert says he may be able to use the voice for radios and webcasts, maybe Scopecast, Jared.
I got your Oscar predictions right here.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder if we could get Roger Jr. and Adam Attic to have a one-on-one face-off.
Probably not this episode.
Let's see right here. Ebert wrote that when Sarah Proc programmers asked him for good quality audio, he first thought he could use sound from his TV movie review shows with Gene Siskel. They listened to the old shows, though, and discovered, one, somebody else was always interrupting him, and two, he sounded all worked up a lot of the time, and three, you could kind of hear the soundtracks of movies playing in the background. That's when they turned to commentaries for DVD movies Ebert made before he lost his voice.
Is Sarah Bright free this weekend? I want to get laid.
Only if it's an amateur actress.
Oh.
Sarah Proc is now blending in Ebert's audio snippets from Casablanca, where he sounded enthusiastic, and Floating Weeds, where he sounded calm and respectful. It's nice to think of all these great movies sloshing around and coming out as his voice, says Ebert.
I hear she gives good tip.
Ebert said he and his wife, Chaz, are producing a new movie review program for television, but he says, I won't be one of the two critics. Viewers wouldn't want to watch him type, he said. Or he wrote. Ebert didn't rule out an occasional guest appearance, though. Ebert wrote that he has been using off-the-shelf computer voices, including one named Alex. But what will I use this voice for? I could talk with Chaz and our grandchildren. It would be me, not Alex. Interesting thing about Roger Ebert, I believe that he actually asked Oprah Winfrey out on a date when she first started off in Chicago.
Wow.
Roger Jr. and I can take her on tag team style.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Adamatic. Wow. Too soon, Adamatic. That's about the Adam that we know and love. So there we go. Roger Ebert. I'm happy for him. I love Roger Ebert. I hope his voice works out. And I'm actually going to watch that Oprah. I'm kind of curious to hear what it sounds like.
Oprah is made of poop.
And here's the thing, Jared. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
If anything were to ever happen to us, we could have our own voices.
Oh, that's true. I mean, we have
hundreds of hours of tape. Of tape, Jared.
Yeah, we could have someone create digital replicas of our voices.
And if something...
I'm sure it's cheap, right?
A bargain, I'm sure. Yeah. And I think if something ever happened to Adam, he'd have about 1 hour of Scope Show to actually lean back on, because he's never here.
Well, hopefully they can take Worst You Ever and translate that into his voice.
Extrapolate. Yeah. I think Adam would be perfectly fine with just saying Worst You Ever for the rest of his life.
There's so much depth to that phrase. I mean, really, do you need anything else to express what you're meaning?
I don't think you do. Jared.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Okay.
Apple may have used underage workers to build your iPhone, sir.
I don't have an iPhone.
Oh, my goodness. That's bigger. That's even more breaking news.
Is it?
Nearly a dozen underage teens were working for Apple-contracted facilities in 2009, the company has revealed. The news was posted Apple's website under a section labeled Supplier Responsibility. The underage workers, Apple says, were at three different suppliers' facilities. Though the specific locations aren't disclosed, the report says inspectors visited faculties, Jared, or facilities in China, the Czech Republic, Malaysia, and the Philippines, as well as Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, and the U.S. of A.
You seem a little less interested in this story than you were in the Ebert story. I'm just saying.
Anytime my company, Apple, gets thrown under the bus, I get angry. I'm typing on an Apple computer that let me down, by the way, earlier today, so maybe I'm going to be angry at them. Let's see. The legal age in the faculty's countries, according to Apple's report, is 16. The workers in question were only 15 when they hired. So they're kind of like the Chinese figure skaters and gymnastic people. Nah, whatever.
I'm giving up already, huh?
I'm giving up on that one.
Nah, what are you gonna do?
Here's a better one.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore Snooki and Chris Noth escape injury as Sony Plaza's roof collapses during a party. Did you hear about this, Jared?
No.
Did you hear about this one?
I guess I don't actively avoid news of the Jersey Shore, but it just tends to avoid me.
Well, I'm bringing it to you, my friend.
Oh, well, that's good. I need to get it from somewhere.
An atrium weighed down with snow and ice collapsed Sunday during a ritzy meltdown party.
Are snow and ice, are those nicknames of Jersey Shore
I
people?
I think they are. Oh, my goodness. During a ritzy midtown party showering hundreds of revelers with glass, cups, and witnesses said. The guests included members of MTV's reality show Jersey Shore, who were celebrating Purim inside Sony Plaza on Madison Avenue. It was scary, but I'm glad nobody got hurt, said MTV reality star Snooki. Snooki doesn't even have a last name, Jared. It's just Snooki. About a dozen people were treated for minor injuries, and some were taken to nearby hospitals for treatment, authorities said.
I care so little about Snooki, I couldn't even come up with a joke about her name.
It was crazy, said Vinny Guadagnino.
Is that the situation? No.
I don't know. But he's a cast member. He's a fellow cast member.
Oh.
Other attendees of the party included Chris Noth, who played Mr. Big on Sex and the City. Do you think that once he realized that the cast of Jersey Shore was there, he was questioning his career?
I think he probably hired a Navy SEAL demolition team to take out the supports of that, just to try to take them out. He's
Chris
so Noth disgusting.
Trying to destroy the cast of Jersey Shore.
Sounds about right.
That seems fair to me.
I don't really know what your problem is.
It was a masquerade party to celebrate Purim. I don't know if that's a Jewish holiday. Must be.
Probably.
It is New York City, right? Sorry, New York fans. What are you going to do? Adam isn't here, so it doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Adam is our authority on all yes. Jewish things.
So anyway, yes, at the end of the day, Jared, the cast of Jersey Shore is fine, and they definitely will be back 100% health to film the second season of Jersey Shore.
I can't tell you how relieved I am. Shane, that is good news. Thank goodness we restart our internet so that you could bring us that wonderful, wonderful, heartwarming tale of Jersey Shore cast surviving from a terrible fall caused by Chris Noth.
So my question is, was there any sarcasm in that last statement?
No, that was heartfelt and pure, Shane, just like my love of chili. The food, not the country.
Everyone knows you hate chili with the passion, and you said they got what's coming to them, I believe.
I love chili. Don't like chile.
Fair enough.
I have no grievance against chile.
Okay, thank goodness. Let's clarify that right now.
Yes, no.
No grievance against chile.
It's Paraguay that I can't stand.
Of course.
Paraguay, sorry. Say it right.
Well, with Adam being out,
anything Southern Hemisphere,
no.
Really.
We only need three news stories.
Oh, we're done with those already?
So we're done with news stories.
Yeah.
I say...
Yeah.
Good for us.
Good for us.
And let's move on, shall
okay.
we?
Jane, I'm just going to play the review sounder just to get out of the way.
Okay.
Just because I felt like playing it.
There are no reviews. What would Arnold Schwarzenegger say about that?
He would body say that I haven't pulled up the soundboard. I can't do that for you.
I knew you didn't pull up the soundboard. I just wanted to see you.
Jerk.
Want to see you struggle.
He's not a doomer.
It's not a tumor. I was actually going to try to find one quick entertainment story. By the way, just for the record, Jared, I know that you were excited about it. Jay Leno returning to The Tonight Show tonight. I know you'll be watching.
No.
Actually, I'm going to review Jay Leno's show right now, Jared. I haven't even seen him come back, but I'm so good, I'm going to review it.
Okay.
It sucks. Yeah. Give it a Sculpt score, please.
Boy. I hate to go all the way down, but we'll just go here. Really? You're not going to work?
Jay Leno is sabotaging our soundboard.
I got nothing. Sorry. I was going to give it a quarter star.
Okay.
The sounds aren't playing.
Because they did actually produce something that could get on to the television.
Well, I guess so. It wasn't just blank space.
Well, we know Jay Leno's coming soon to a television near us. Let's find out what else is coming soon.
Yeah.
We got a lot of music hitting the spinner racks tomorrow, March 2nd. Let's look at our list. Number one comes from Peter Gabriel. He's got a cover album called Scratch My Back.
Peter Gabriel needs to do covers?
He just picks some of his favorite songs, Jared. Peter Gabriel looks very weird now. I mean, back when I was a kid, he was like this cool-looking dude. Now he's sort of this bloated Uncle Fester-looking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say the same thing about Tim Burton, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he ever really looked that cool, but, boy, he's gotten big.
He has. A band that I liked in the early 2000s, kind of a mellow, groovy techno band called Groove Armada,
mm-hmm.
hitting us with this album called Blacklight.
Okay.
Jared's most eagerly anticipated album of March hits.
Yes.
It's Jamie Foxx's.
Cannot wait.
Body.
I love it. He drops the beat like no one else.
And Jared and I both will be running out to the stores to get Natalie Merchant's album, Leave Your Sleep.
Shane, I've already pre-ordered because I want the exclusive single you get when you pre-order.
I was thinking about Natalie Merchant, just that I haven't heard anything from her, and then bam, she's got an album out. It's like she knows that I'm thinking about her.
I never cared about her, honestly. I guess I kind of like 10,000 Maniacs a little bit, but not enough to actually ever buy an album. And when she left it, I just didn't care.
You know who had a kind of a huge thing for her? Very strange, David Letterman. He would have her on the show all the time. Not only would she get to sing, but he would always invite her over to the desk to sit down. And he would interview her, and it would be one of the worst interviews I'd ever heard in my life. I think he probably liked her because she looked a little bit like those beefy interns that he liked to bang. But what do I know?
Yeah, I guess.
March 9th, Jared. We've got three albums of worth that deserve our coming soon status. Broken Bells. Actually, I don't even know who they are.
Wow.
Broken Bells with their self-titled album, Broken Bells.
Okay.
I'll just check it out for fun. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
I've heard of them, at least.
Beat the Devil's Tattoo. Yeah. Their album.
That sounds about right.
And an album that I think a lot of people are looking forward to.
Justin Bieber?
Yes.
I don't know.
Gorillaz.
Oh, yeah,
they're
yeah.
back with Plastic Beach.
Cool.
Have you heard the first single off of that album?
No.
Because I hear it's good.
I have not heard it, Shane. Can I find that on the interwebs?
You certainly can, my friend. Guess what?
What?
We've got movies as well. Films, motion pictures, talkies.
Which you know we'll see all of.
March 5th, we have two films, and I think they're going to be battling because they have the same audiences. There's no doubt about that. We've got Brooklyn's Finest, cop movie.
Yeah.
And we've also got Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, Earl's Nightmare. I'm going to force him to go see that on Friday night right after your show.
There's a lot of people who are interested in that. I just, for some reason, I'm not.
You know, initially, I kind of was, but now I'm feeling like it looks weird and not all that exciting to me.
I don't know. He's talking about how he wants to make the iconic version of Alice in Wonderland, and it's like, it just looks more like more CGI cruft. I don't know.
I know.
I'm not getting a good vibe. I guess maybe I'm a little tired of Johnny Depp playing the complete weirdos. I don't know. There's nothing drawing me to that film.
I know that you are looking forward to his guest appearance in the 21 Jump Street film.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. I think we're all there. So the following week, March 12th, because that's how it works 7 days later, Jared, we've got four movies.
The maths.
Green Zone. No, it's not an Al Gore movie. It's about the Green Zone in Iraq.
Oh. Is that the sequel to The Hurt Locker?
It is, yes.
Okay. Very quick turnaround, those kids.
Our Family Wedding. I don't even know what that's about.
I don't know.
Remember Me. I think it's a love story.
I don't think we'll be remembering that film.
I don't think so either.
As I practice my enunciation into the microphone, Shane.
And then finally, this is the story of my life. It's called She's Out of My League. And it stars the guy that played the lead character in the television show Undeclared.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know his name, but I know his face. This might be of more interest to you, Jared. We've got DVDs on March 2nd. Your favorite movie of the year, 2012, Hits.
I'm torn on DVDs, Shane. I'm just going to interject this into the
Why
show.
Why are you torn?
I'm torn because I'm at a point where I feel like I'm throwing money away if I buy a DVD. But because I know at some point I'm going to have a Blu-ray player.
Oh, I see. It's the Blu-ray dilemma.
It's the Blu-ray dilemma. Now, I really wish that every film that came out had both.
Yeah, some do nowadays.
I know some do. But if it was consistent, I would just buy Blu-rays.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Have you been talking to Earl about the Blu-ray fiasco? Because he's been talking about that a lot lately. Like, he is into that. So he has not been tainting your mind.
No. There's a fiasco that Earl's...
No, Earl's all on board on Blu-ray now, and he wants to get nothing but Blu-ray.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But he can't play it, so...
He can't play it, doesn't have a player yet. I tell him, you can get a player for $130.
Will the player then connect to a standard FTV?
Sure,
that's
why not?
What he has. Well, I don't know. I'm asking.
Yes, they have the standard red, white, and yellow cable.
Well, what if your TV doesn't have that? Oh, wait, red, white, and yellow. Okay, I get you. Yeah, your standard
composite. He can do that. He can do that.
Hmm.
You could do that too.
I know.
Jared.
Now you got me thinking. Maybe I just do that.
Go get the Insignia Blu-ray player, the Best Buy one. It's wireless.
Oh my god! Yeah,
let's get the one I have, my friend.
What is that going to cost me, Shane?
I got mine for $130.
Here's the thing. I have a $50 Best Buy gift card that I have yet to spend on
it. I don't know if it's that price regularly, but it's you can wait for it.
Do you know a guy who can get me a deal?
I do know a couple guys. One might just fall off the back of a truck. Well, let's find out what movies might come out on Blu-ray March 2nd.
Right.
We've got 2012. We've got Castle in the Sky, which I believe is a Japanese animated film.
Yeah.
We've got one of the worst reviewed movies of the year.
Yeah, Girlfriends, the
Gentlemen, Gentlemen Broncos, starring Clement.
I hear the film's not great, but I hear Jermaine is awesome in it.
We'll have to say about that. And then
I hear his character's great.
A movie that I'm really excited to see, which I did not see in theater, Where the Wild Things Are, just because I think it looks pretty incredible.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too, I guess.
And March 9th comes with a handful of movies as well. Not quite as good as March 2nd. We've got Boondog Saints 2, All Saints Day.
I can't tell you how much I want to see that one.
This one, for the record, Jared, is coming out on Blu-ray, so you could pick this one up. It's Barbie in A Mermaid's Tale.
Oh, perfect.
And this one also is coming out on Blu-ray. It's Hannah Montana in Miley Says Goodbye.
Wait a minute. I thought Hannah Montana was going away, but now Miley's going away?
I think she's done.
I think she's gonna, both sides of her personality are just going to dissolve back into the space-time continuum.
They're going to melt back into her father's mullet.
Oh, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. The mullet's coming back.
But Jared, there's one more great movie. So if you want to have the best triple feature you could possibly have,
Shane,
you know
I've been looking for that ultimate triple feature.
Okay, you've got Barbie's on a Mermaid's Tale.
Yep, we're good.
You've got Hannah Montana, Miley Says Goodbye. And then finally, the laugh riot that is Old Dogs.
Oh, jeez. You can't. Once you put the kids to bed, and then you got the old dogs. You've got the adults. Old dogs. It's perfect, Shane.
Or just keep the kids up, like, because
it's like a classic drive-in movie triple feature. There, that's what it is.
Yeah, the classic triple feature where people kill themselves by the end of the first movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
Harry
Carey. Then cuts down on the lines at the popcorn stand.
Okay, so let's say Old Dogs doesn't do it for you, and you like.
Let's just assume that that's the case, Shane.
And you like video games. Well, let's find out what's happening for the week of February 28th, which is actually just a couple days ago. We've got these games. Some of these might even be out in stores already, Jared. We've got Battlefield 2 Bad Company coming out for the 360 and PlayStation 3 as well as PC. We've got Major League Baseball. This is the week where all the baseball games come out. 2K10 on every system imaginable.
I've never gotten my head around a baseball game post Nintendo Baseball.
I know, it's crazy. But maybe if you had a PS3, you could get behind the, I think Joe Mauer's on the cover of MLB 10 The Show.
I could make a comment about wanting to get behind Joe Mauer, Shane, but
I know
people would just edit that into some sort of freaky sex story.
Which, by people, you mean you.
No, I'm not going to.
The week of March 7th brings us Final Fantasy, and thank God I can read Roman numerals, because it's 13.
A lot of people are into that series.
I know.
13 has got some good buzz, I think. Maybe
a little bit of buzz there.
Yeah.
Okay, Stewie.
I don't know.
Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition, and then Yakuza 3, because we didn't get enough Yakuza in 1
Yakuza,
and 2.
Is it Yakuza, Shane?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe it's Yakuza because you're the smarty pants.
Luke Ski, I'm calling you out. I think you know the correct pronunciation of
that
word.
Why would he know?
I don't know.
He may know a lot about bathing, my friend, but he probably doesn't know everything about
it. Oh, does he know about bathing? You just wait till the comment section.
So, my friend, that is the end of Coming Soon.
Yeah.
And the end of Under the Scope.
Yeah.
And the end of our podcast as you know it.
Okay.
Our scope cast. under the scope. Breaking news. Kate Goslet says, I'm wanting to be on Dancing with the Stars.
I read that earlier. Not breaking news. Don't try to win.
I'm going to break some news. Go ahead, sir. What
we
do we got
comments?
For
comments on the last episode. Mike says, my answer is Fresh Prince. 48 hours for my bachelor party in Vegas. Beaker, in class in college, Bermuda Triangle, time after time, none, showers, 60s, the host of the Scope Show, anything Ronco.
What is the host of the Scope Show? People that he wants to kill?
I think it was ones he wanted to have a dinner with or something.
Where does Mike live? Does he live in Minnesota?
You know what? I deleted his location from my list. Because
Mike, if you come down to Convergence in July, I will buy you dinner. You heard it right there.
Wow.
I'll buy you dinner.
Says another
and
great
Jared will give you a happy ending.
Let's just see what he says here. I'm not, no happy endings for me. Only Joe Mauer gets those.
Joe Mauer, if you're listening, I will buy you dinner. No dome dog.
No, they don't. Yeah, they're gone. Mike says another great show. A couple more things like this. A couple more like this, and I might even consider sponsoring another show. Keep it up. Maybe some thoughts on the Twins and their new stadium next show. We didn't quite get to that, did we?
No, we'll
maybe
wait till Adam
talk about that
here
in March. Yeah. Yeah, he says he would be interested to hear what you guys think about outdoor games in April and October.
Well, guess what? I walk by that stadium almost every day. I park right next to it.
Wow.
Breaking news. Brady Bunch reunion on today's show canceled, Jared.
Oh, no, Shane. I have my DVR set.
The planned reunion of cast members of the Brady Bunch for the Today Show this week has been canceled. A spokeswoman for NBC told EW that the reunion slated for Wednesday has been canceled due to scheduling conflicts.
Wow.
Eight is Enough happened on Monday. Partridge Family and 227, which is funny because I did an imitation of Jack Hay this weekend.
Hey, maybe.
Well, that's not what you get to break out very often, is it? It's
maybe.
Did you have to blow the dust off it first before you used it?
I did. What was her name?
Jack Hay. That was the actress. What was her character name?
I don't remember. Does Jack Hay star with Monster Neek?
Yeah, oh yeah. God, that's a force to be reckoned with. You might as well just give them all the statues if those two team up.
Hey, Monique.
Okay, go ahead.
Monster Neek.
Go ahead.
Greatest creation ever. Adam Lazel writes in. He says, I won't kiss your pink bits, but I love the show. I really like the Q&A. It flowed very well. One thing which resonated, or more so brought back repressed memories, was the segment regarding junior high dance class. Oh, the horror, rejection, and awkwardness! Triple exclamation mark. I must now huddle in a fetal position in the corner of my room, crying. We made a man cry.
That's what I live for, my friend. That's what I live for.
I know you do. I know you do. To cap off the comment section, Shane,
yeah!
We put the call out to the Great Luke Ski last show regarding the subject of baths versus showers, and I outed him as a person who loves baths. He called into the voicemail line with an explanation of why he loves baths. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Po-po-po-dio. Hey, this is Luke Ski calling in because I was called out on the scope regarding baths and the why I like them. Well, basically, it kind of goes back to that whole relaxation thing. Myself personally, I'm always, continually multitasking. I'm always doing at least two things at once, if not three.
So what are you doing right now when you're calling? I dare ask, you probably have a hand free. Does that mean you're...
Is he there right now?
What?
It just sounds like he's there. Oh. Like we're talking to him right now.
All right. I want to know if he's doing two or three things at once. I want to know what else he was doing while calling the scope.
He can multitask.
Was he checking his stock portfolio?
Was he
grooming his cats? I mean,
that are barfing on the floor everywhere?
Well, that could be a problem. Maybe he's cleaning up cat barf. I don't know.
Sour milk.
There's a mystery at hand here. What is Luke Ski doing while he's calling the scope voicemail line? It's not going to be answered in this call.
Where's it going to be answered?
I can only hope that someone will divine the mystery. It's answers.
It might be us.
Stuff.
It might be us this weekend.
You're really distracted by that laptop.
I'm trying to find a sound clip of Jack A.
You keep going. I got more voicemail. Here we go.
I can't find Jack
A. My brain is constantly being split, in all kinds of directions. And being able to take a bath and just sit there and soak actually allows my mind to quiet itself enough to be able to relax for 20 minutes of my day. So that's probably the main reason why I like baths. If I'm in a hurry, I'll take a shower. The thing that I've never really been able to understand, and I've heard other people say it, and I heard you guys kind of repeat the sentiment yet again, where you're saying, like, how could somebody want to take a bath? How could somebody want to, like, sit in their own filth? It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that Shane worked in a coal mine.
you just don't know Shane well enough. Shane does, after he works his day job, he actually does pull night shifts at the local coal mine.
The Richfield coal mine.
It's our oil, pretty much. We have the richest coal deposits in the world here in this country. Somebody's got to mine it, Luke Ski. It's not going to mine itself.
We're not supplying fuel for you.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah. So Shane comes home. He's all caked in soot and coke dust. I believe it's called coke. I don't know. So I'm just saying, I'm trying to defend your honor, Shane. I think you're a dirty man when you get home, and there we go.
And that, Jared slops pigs for a living, and that, Adam is the host of that Dirty Jobs show on TV.
Now, we know that's not true.
No.
But it is true that I slop pigs. I come from a farming heritage, Shane. My grandmother lives on a farm.
Have you ever slopped a pig?
No, never. They didn't have pigs.
Milk a cow?
No.
Get a chicken egg?
Maybe.
I love it.
It's like, what in your cubicle lives gets you so...
I have an office, thank you. No cubicle for me.
I don't have an office.
I have an office, and it's very tidy. I mean, it's filthy, because I need showers.
Filthy and dirty, that if you were to submerge yourself in water, you would have, all this filth amongst you in the water.
What's he doing?
I think that's the filth speaking to him. It's got to him. He's taking a bath now, I think, as he's calling. I heard splashing. And now the filth in the water has actually contaminated his brain.
Yeah, the feces is making him speak like a weird Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of fellow.
Luke, we're just having a little fun here. We're not trying to belittle you.
Jared's having fun.
All right.
I'm going for the... just kidding, Luke.
All right, we'll finish the call. Here we go.
And then Jack
Hay. Stand up, shut off the shower. The filth will get me. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know. Maybe I just, don't get quite as is dirty and funky. Although Sarah would probably disagree with that. Anyway, let you guys get back to the show. Thank you for calling me out. Be sure to call out someone else this week. And yeah, that's about it. Talk to you later. See you at MarsCon.
Peace.
I believe I called you out again, Luke, about the correct pronunciation of Yakuza or Yakuza.
It's a double call out.
Right. That is it for comments, Shane.
Okay, pod that music down a little bit. Let me see what we got here.
Miss Clark.
Oh, call me Sandra.
Sandra. I was wondering if you could help me out on some advice about what to do about, man problems.
So, you're trying to pique this boy's interest, huh? Well, let's see what we have to work with. Stand up.
Turn around.
Ooh! Good raw material.
There we go. Jack Hay makes her first and definitely not last appearance on the Scope Show. Who needs Adam when we got Jack Hay?
That's true, honestly. I mean, that's a winning combination there.
I'm sorry, that's the best I could do for the clip. I could not screen ahead of time.
That's okay, Shane. I don't care. It's a spur of the moment thing. This is what happens when you're doing live radio.
It's impromptu comedy, my friend.
Live podcasting or some shit.
So, Jared, we've got some plugs, and let's get the F out of here.
I'm going to do my contact methods first. You can write to us, comments at thescopeshow.com. You call the voicemail line, just like the rate Luke Key demonstrated. Call it from the comfort of your shower, bath, or the jacuzzi. It's up to you. 646-495-9201, extension 70055. That's a toll-free call if you have free long distance.
Yes. I thought you were going to say gonorrhea, but
join our Facebook fan page or follow us on Twitter. We are The Scope Show on Twitter, even though the show is not part of the title. It's just there for consistency's sake. We got a donation. I didn't get a chance to do the sponsorship jingle. I'll do that for the next show. So
yes.
To the gentleman who donated money to us, I'm assuming you have balls. I'm not sure. Your name indicates typically a masculine traits. We'll get to that on the next show, but thank you for your donation. That's it. Oh, and if you, MarsCon with Nick Adams, Friday night, 11 p.m., Bloomington, Minnesota. Go to marscon.org for more information.
Don't sound so excited about it. Because I'm excited, Jared. You're a guest of honor. I've never met a guest of honor in my life.
Hey, I get a hotel room out of it.
And the rumor has it we may be guests of honor next year. You never know.
Wouldn't that be something?
You never know. So, Jared, I want to thank you. I want to thank Jack Hay, and I want to thank the Oscars for giving us content for this show, which actually was not our worst show ever. We've done worse.
When you just go off the cuff like that, sometimes magic happens. Saying it happened now, but I'm saying sometimes it happens.
We didn't need soundboards.
It's like a Harry Potter novel. It's so magical.
It was. It was so magical. Jared's floating around here in his little Quidditch stick.
I think the key is not having Adam, so I'm forced to speak more.
You almost sounded like Jay Leno there, right there.
I think the key with that. Yeah, you can't hear me. I don't do a Leno.
That's
sorry.
Not bad, Jared.
I don't really do anyone. All I do is Cloverfield Monster.
You don't do anyone. Poor Angie. Two years of pain.
Just Joe Mauer.
And with that, that is an episode 85 of Your Scope program. We'll be back soon with another great edition. See you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
Buenos dias.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope. Oh.